and welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Dee McGrail.
And I'm Laura Mangone.
And
oh, happy,
we are...
Oh, happy day.
Happy day. It's Thursday, which means it's almost Friday.
Yeah.
Which means it's almost the weekend, which is... Yay!
Yay!
I have a no-stress job. You know, I'm not a chef anymore, at least for the time being.
Well, you have, so different, you have different stress. You
still I have little stress. Little kid stress. It's not stressful at all. It's just...
Frustrating?
You know, the kids, you know, dealing with this, it's 100% online.
Right.
Everyone's getting used to it. The kids are getting used to it. The teachers, the poor teachers, you know, even just navigating Zoom, you know, they didn't have this. This is like last year, a lot of them had Google, whatever, Google Meeting or Google something. So for a lot of them, Zoom is a new platform.
Yeah.
So they could practice all they want all summer, but until you have a whole class there, you're not going to know.
It's challenging. I've seen a couple of my friends that are teachers and, you know, they've got 30 boxes. I don't even think I did like a Zoom cocktail party with more than maybe a dozen people.
Right.
30 boxes that they've got
to
keep track of.
Yeah. She has the way this school did it, she only has about 15 or so kids in each class, but she's teaching first grade and kindergarten. So the moment she signs off with first grade, she's going back and doing the same thing with kindergarten. It's crazy. So the teachers can't necessarily tell what each kid is doing because they're only an inch big.
Right.
it's tough.
They're
and the kids don't understand.
Quarters of an inch.
You know, and sometimes you'll hear, I would love when the first graders are so cute. Each kid had something they had to ask a question. Okay, right. They had to ask a question about something. And so one girl, she kept raising her hand. She's waving her hand. And so Mrs. Regan said, "Yes, Sienna, what is your question?" And she said, "When is this going to be over?" You know, like they're so...
They are so funny.
So
I've
direct.
Seen the news reports, you know, mothers and fathers sending in pictures of their kids who are like, you know, sprawled out on the chair, like they're done. They can't take it.
They're done. I'm learning to
have his head closed in the laptop.
In the laptop, right. And learning that when it's time to do assignments, and we will talk about food, folks, but...
Yep, we will.
And I'm going to segue into one of this family that I'm working with. They turned me on to this spread, which is now I'm like obsessed with spreads, but... I forget what I was going to say.
Anyway. Kids getting tired. Kids, teachers... So the teachers down here, like Mercer County, everybody's been in Trenton for the past couple of days picketing and, you know, like pretty much striking to just go remote and not be in person. You know, it's pretty frightening.
Imagine how complicated that is, though. I work for a very privileged family. You know, they make enough money to have a nanny. Mm-hmm. They might even make enough money to have another assistant come in and help with the 2-year-old. What about the families? Like I have a friend, she probably makes what, $40,000 a year and husband mm-hmm. doesn't make too much more than that. And they've got a mortgage and they've got a 6-year-old. How do these, if you can't get a nanny, what on earth do you do?
Yeah. I don't
know. You get a pod of kids.
But when you think about the virus and all these schools and all these activities that are starting up and then a week later they're closing down again because it's just out of control.
I know.
You know,
but I see how they're conflicted.
A health issue.
I know. I feel like by not going all virtual, it's just prolonging the inevitable, which is it's going to spread virus. Then we're all going to shut down again.
And we're all going to shut down again. It's going to be just like it was in March again. I mean, it's starting to... You know, some parts of the country still think it's all bullshit. You know, they think it's a hoax. They refuse to wear masks. I mean, I've lost 13 people that I know. 13 people that I personally know have died. I mean,
wow.
It's not a hoax. It's
I know.
A serious thing.
I know. And back when Trump was, you know, when he just got taped with Woodward saying that this is bad, this is airborne, this
but I'm
is
not
deadly.
Letting everybody know that.
This is it's the flu is sometimes it's maybe 1% death rate. That's based on people who are diagnosed with the flu. 1% death rate, sometimes less than 1%. Right. This is more like 5%. This is back in February, in the beginning of February. It's actually more like 5 to 8% of cases
it's
that actually die from it, which is enormous. It's like it's crazy. And I'm reminded why I am being as strict as I am. You know, there's a reason why my kids are still not coming over unless we can sit outside. But anyway, we're probably running out of time at this point. Should I talk about spreads?
Yes, go for it.
Okay, so the family that I'm working for, they're a delightful family. They are, parents are vegan and the kids are vegetarian. So the kids will actually eat
dairy.
And I guess eggs, but not really eggs. They use like, they use something called Just Egg, and it's a non-egg product, and it actually tastes like eggs, and they're frozen and they're fantastic. They have this spread, and it's made by Seggiano, S-E-G-G-I-A-N-O. And it's called artichoke and garlic sauce and spread. And I looked in the ingredients, and
is
it's
it like
purely
my artichoke pesto that I make?
No, it's more purist than that. Here's the ingredients: artichokes, olive oil, garlic, and lemon. That's it.
Oh, that's kind of my spread. That's kind of all
so
I
it's
put in my
but
spread.
It's but you have other stuff in there in your artichoke pesto. You have
not
cheese,
really. Just parsley, you know, just herbs. That's pretty much
right.
It.
Well, this garlic is oil. This is a spread, like literally it's as fine as mayonnaise. Like it's just a complete kind of loose spread, and you like you could put a dollop of it on chicken breast. It is so pure. And so it's like crack. I could eat this whole jar right here. Probably like 500 calories each jar. Yes.
Or on something.
I could sometimes eat it with a spoon. I'll take like a half a teaspoon at a time and I just put a little salt on it. Oh my God. It's so good. So I was thinking with the same premise in terms of simplicity. Now, Tum, which we have talked about on another show, and I've only recently discovered Tum. Yeah. And for those listening, all Tum is an emulsification of garlic, lemon, oil, and water.
It's like an aioli.
It's like an aioli, but there's no egg in it.
Right.
So it's an emulsification because of the lack of egg. It turns kind of a, and when it's emulsified, it turns kind of a bright white. So it's a bright white whipped spread. So it doesn't look like mayonnaise, much whiter than that.
Right.
And it's just so pure because it's just garlic, you know, it's so simple.
That's
the,
it.
The ingredients. The same with this artichoke. I want to do it with every other vegetable that I love. Like, I've never been a huge fan of broccoli. I want to do it with spinach. And just puree that spinach until it's just like a paste, like no chunk whatsoever. It's got to be really creamy. And just garlic. Emulsify it with oil.
Yeah.
You probably do a little bit of water if you want it to be a little fluffier.
Yeah.
And salt, olive oil,
that
garlic, lemon. That's it. And just have like all of these little jars of these pure vegetable spreads.
I'd like it with eggplant.
That was my next one.
I'd like it with beets.
Mm.
I'd like it with carrots.
Yep.
I would like it with mushrooms, definitely, like wild mushrooms.
Right, except the mushrooms you'd have to cook.
I think we just figured out our next business. We've got all these other ones.
Here's
stock business. And
the seafood stock, and Laura will call it veg spreads.
Veg spreads.
And we could sell like little boxes of all of these pure vegetable spreads. So these are all things you could put on sandwiches, on a chicken breast, if you want just a dollop of sauce. They could be multi
in something else. Like if you were making,
you
another
mix it in a salad. But these would be like really pure, really basic spreads that are delicious that you want to eat out of the jar. But you don't. You try not to, except for when I just did.
Okay, we're going to hope that someone at Sabra isn't listening to us right now because they've just ran out and got a patent for our idea.
I know, like the carrot, you know, you have a point. Carrots, how about roasted carrots spread?
Or roasted carrots. Red peppers. Or
roasted red pepper spread.
Even onions, like scallions or shallots.
Roasted onion spread. And just these are, and I'm when I say they are smooth, I would even venture to say that when this says artichoke in it, because artichokes are so fibrous, I would bet $20 that it's artichoke bottoms.
Right. Probably. Spread,
because that's how creamy it is.
Right.
But honestly, I mean, I want to do it this weekend. I want to make like five of them and put them on Don sandwiches. And how great to have a pure, instead of mayonnaise. Now, mind you, you know, if you use it in addition to mayonnaise, it gets kind of fatty, but you can use this in lieu of mayonnaise.
Right.
And you'd have that oil. So you'd have that hearty, fatty.
It sounds like something you know, you could think about all the ramifications. I mean, you could put that into a pasta dish, just that itself with the other vegetable, or even that by itself, just, you know,
or even a pasta dish and just use like the carrot spread in the pasta dish.
That's what I'm saying.
Be like this bright orange.
Right.
You could
just use that product. Plus you can,
and it would turn it that color.
Yeah. As the moisture content, if you were making something else, let's say I wanted to make a carrot bread or an onion bread, I could use that product in lieu of using milk or butter or, you know, as the liquid component.
Right, because it's got the vegetable and it's flavor, got the fat.
Right, it has the fat, it has the flavor.
And all of them have garlic, but I'm sure you could do a couple without, you know, for people who, but it's better with garlic.
Yeah, no, that's.
I'm gonna make some of these this weekend. I'm gonna make thum, and I'll make my own artichoke spread. I think I'm gonna do spinach and eggplant. I'm not gonna do the carrot. I'm not into sweet, sugary vegetables, but I'll do the low carb vegetables, and I'll let you know how it goes.
Sounds good.
How much time do we have? Because you wanted to talk about some. We still have some time, because. You wanted to talk about,
I have this, I've had this series of books, gosh, probably about 20 years. And I bought them probably about 20 years ago at the restaurant I used to do on every Tuesday. I would do a different ethnic cuisine and I would offer a limited menu. In addition to our regular menu, it was called Tuesdays on Tour. So I would have, do you remember back in the day, the Rosemont Cafe?
Of course.
So the Rosemont Cafe, if you remember, one night a week would do some ethnic cuisine and they would have a price fixed menu and their tagline was to eat globally and drive locally.
Right.
And I kind of, you know, took that idea and started Tuesdays on Tour. And we did it for quite a few years. And in doing my research, I subscribed and I started buying these books. And they're small little books. I mean, there's probably over 100 pages in each, but they're small little, physically small books. And they're from all over the world, you know, Thailand, France, Japan, Portugal. And I had one that I was looking at that was Oaxaca. And I have decided that I'm going to, once a week, I'm going to cook from one of these books. So we're going to have our own little Thursdays on Tour or Wednesdays on Tour. And I'm going to do a cuisine from each area. So yesterday I did from Oaxaca in Mexico, which is very distinct. It's not just Mexican food. It's Oaxacan food. So I made some really good things. And when we come back, we'll talk about it. We still have a couple of minutes. And also, I don't know if we want to touch on it or not, but before we started the show, I told you an un-food-related item. I just saw this program called The Social Dilemma that I think Anybody in our listening audience, I think every person on the planet should watch this program. It's just basically how, you know, we're being tracked and how all the big companies, you know, big technological companies and social media are basically pandering, like we are the commodity, like our attention is the commodity. And they're all vying for our attention. And whether that means putting up provocative ads or, you know, getting us to click to like someone else's content or anyway, this program called Social Dilemma is earth shattering, eye opening. I think everybody on the planet should watch it.
Let me give you a quick example. Tell me if this is possible. I think it is. So we know how when we go online and we search for something and then all of a sudden things like that start showing up in your Facebook feed, right?
Being tracked. Yep.
So they're tracking us. But
yes.
I, on the weekends, on Sundays, sometimes after like the Jane Pauley show or whatever, I know we're running out of time. If I just leave the TV on, something will come on about kids with cleft palates.
Right.
Right. So it was like these doctors all over the world trying to help all these kids with cleft palates. Laura, I only ever watched it on TV and it showed up in my Facebook feed.
Well, that could also be a coincidence.
You know, I don't know.
Coincidences. The thing that's scary about this and the thing that it certainly shines light on is how, you know, how divided the country is right now and everyone's politics. And how, you know, climate change, some people think it's bullshit. And, you know, kids are committing suicide at drastic rates. I mean, this documentary touches on so many things that are impacting our world right now. And most specifically, the election. So it's very important. And we're running out of time. Sorry.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk about some Mexican food from...
We'll be back.
Attention Medicare recipients and anyone turning 65. Medicare has approved new benefits not included with original Medicare and older Medicare Advantage plans. You may not be getting all of the benefits you're entitled to, including in-home aids, telephone appointments with your doctors, home-delivered meals and prescriptions. These benefits may be available and it's a free call to enroll. The new plans may also offer free eyeglasses, free hearing aids, free wellness visits, and gym memberships. Call the Medicare benefits line now. It's easy. Call 800-663-7292. 800-663-7292. Find out if you're eligible for new benefits like meal and prescription delivery, in-home aids, and telemedicine. Some plans may have a $0 monthly premium or zero copays for big out-of-pocket savings. Not all Medicare Advantage plans are alike. The new plans have more benefits for many people. Call 800-663-7292. 800-663-7292. 800-663-7292.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
I can't get my computer to work.
Let me help you with that.
How'd you do that? I just got techie with Geeks On Site.
Our geeks literally come on site. No need to stop what you're doing or block off time. We come to your home, office, or wherever you are. And we don't just fix whatever computer issues you might be having. We explain and teach you along the way so you can feel empowered and then help others at home or in your office. Better yet, don't have time for tech support to come to you? Let us remote into your desktop or laptop, and one of our geeks will instantly walk you through. We offer affordable prices on our remote services and IT support. You and those in your office will never have to wait hours to have your technical questions answered. Get your free computer diagnosis today with your very own geek.
Get started now and we'll help you instantly. Call 844-606-8411. 844-606-8411. That's 844-606-8411.
And welcome back to Food for Thought.
So, before we hastily went to the break, it's called The Social Dilemma. And it's really very important for everybody to watch.
Right.
And make changes in your life accordingly. You know, speak to your kids. Change the notifications on your phone so you're not getting every little blip every day, all day long. Opt out of things. You know, you're able to opt out of getting advertising. You're able to opt out of things that mark your location. It's important stuff. Anyway, so back to food.
Wait. I have a little, first of all, I have to plug in my computer because I didn't realize it, but I'm about to lose a charge. So just bear with me for a second. But before you go into your, what is the town in Mexico that you're going to discuss the cuisine?
Oaxaca.
And tell me, because I've never been there, what part of Mexico is that?
It's Western Central. And it's lovely.
Western Central.
And it's very traditional. It's one of the oldest communities in Mexico. It's one of the oldest established communities in Mexico.
Okay.
They are Incan Indians that started the community, or Oaxacan Indians, actually. I mean, and it's different. You know, their foods are very different from traditional Mexican foods. So did you say you wanted to say something before I started talking about?
I just had, I have a little tidbit. It's a funny cheese story. Can I just tell it really quick?
Please do.
So you get your story ready. Are you Oaxacan?
It's all in my head.
So just really quick. So, you know, I moved into a new place, right?
Yes.
So nobody knows our address, you know, barely anybody knows where we live now. So we get a package in the mail and we open it and we pull out all the cardboard and all the little cards and paraphernalia. And it's a package full of cheese, like 10 different Cryovac cheeses.
Huh.
And so Don is looking at it with me and he's like, honey, where did you get this? And I said, I think I must have been drunk because I don't remember.
Oh God.
So, and I'm seriously thinking, oh, I must have been really buzzed and just bought a bunch of cheese.
Oh my gosh. Somebody sent you a housewarming gift.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I'm
saying. So after I'm thinking like, and then I'm looking at him going, you know, usually when I'm buzzed and I forget stuff, when you bring it up again, like I remember like, oh yeah, the cheese, but it's really not coming to me.
I can't believe that was your go-to. Like it wasn't a gift. Your go-to was I was drunk and I don't remember ordering this.
Yes, but I wasn't, Laura. It was a housewarming gift.
That's lovely. Was there a card with it?
Yes, it was from Nancy Simon.
Perhaps before you went to the I was drunk scenario, you should have looked for a card.
Well, the card, we eventually found the card. But, and then I thought, how does anybody know where we lived? And then I remembered when we first made the offer on the house, I sent her the link on realtor.com.
Right.
So she must have saved it.
Well, that's very
anyway.
Thoughtful. That's lovely.
Anyway, we're loaded with great cheese. Okay.
That's great.
You're up. Oaxaca.
So my housewarming gift is that wall behind you.
What?
That beautifully painted wall behind you.
Oh, yeah. She came in with her power roller and she rocked it.
I painted Deirdre's house one afternoon. So in my little world food, little Oaxacan book, I was looking through it the other day. I was a toss up this week if I was going to do something from Japan or something from Oaxaca. And I happen to have quite a bit of chicken thighs in the freezer. So I decided on Oaxaca. And I made the most delicious, and I mean, I cook. I know when I'm, you know, I make very interesting meals at usually every single night or when I'm cooking. But this was really, really, really special. So, and I cook chicken thighs all the time. But this, again, was very special.
Was it boneless or on the bone?
It was on the bone. But right. I used a very interesting technique that I saw a couple of weeks ago that Jacques Pepin does. I follow him on the Food Network, and I watch his little videos from time to time. He's adorable. I just love him. I literally put his videos on replay, or I'll put on an old Jacques Pepin show, and I fall to sleep. I go to sleep to it. It's like, what puts me to sleep?
He's Lori. He's my first culinary love.
Yeah. I just, his voice, his accent. Yeah. I mean, he's like 90 now, but he's still adorable. So I saw him do this very interesting technique when cooking thighs that you just cut along the bone a bit in the back and you pull the bone just up a tad to expose it a little bit more. And it literally takes like 15 minutes off of the cooking time of your thighs. It's
really
like rocket science. Yes. I've been doing it for the
I love stuff like this, yeah. Laura. You know, so I love
some
little
chicken
tips.
Thighs. So they were bone in, and I made, so this was garlic and oregano Oaxacan chicken. And basically I made a paste with a dozen cloves of garlic and about a cup of fresh oregano, which thankfully we have an oregano plant outside. Fresh oregano, a little bit of oil, garlic, a little salt and pepper, and the juice of two limes. In the blender. I mean, I used an immersion blender, just crushed it all up. And you rub that all over the chicken thighs.
Yum.
And the thing that was interesting in this recipe was, as we all know, you know, food can get dried out. You want your, especially even thighs, can, you know, you want it to stay moist. So this had a very interesting method. You put it in the oven at 450 degrees. I did leave the skin. I cut some of the skin off the back part of the thigh, but I left a bit, little bit on the front of the thigh. And I put them just on a sheet pan, nothing, no special anything, no parchment paper. I just put them skin side down and in a 450 degree oven, I put them in for about 15 minutes. And what happens there is because it's skin side down, because it has a little bit of oil on it, because you're on a sheet pan and it's 450 degrees, you get a really nice crisp skin on the bottom part of the thigh.
Right, right. I wouldn't do it that way. That's a
I
nice
wouldn't
method.
Either. So this is why it was very interesting to me. So after that 15 minutes, you turn the chicken over, but because you really want moist chicken, at that point I turned it down to 350 degrees, which, you know, I usually never go below 375.
375.
Like 375 is my sweet spot. 350 degrees, and I poured just about a cup of chicken broth in the bottom of the pan. It was a large sheet pan, so it only literally was maybe a quarter of an inch. It wasn't like it was submerged. It was just a tiny little
bit. Just enough to keep the bottom wet.
Just enough to keep it moist. And then, because it was in the oven for another 15, 20 minutes, that sort of reduced and made a beautiful pan sauce, because I already had the fond from the crispy side being at a high temperature. Oh my gosh, I'm telling you, this chicken was freaking delicious.
So wow, I love that method. And I've never done it. Skin side down at 450, get crisp it up, turn it over, and then do the water so that it you're not only deglazing the pan, but
And it was the most moist, crispy on the top, moist, obviously delicious because it had oregano and lime and garlic all over it. So it was super delicious. So there you go. That's a Oaxacan special chicken.
And cheap as ever, but okay, but what do you tell people? Because the one herb that in the past, I've never necessarily thought that it was better fresh would be oregano.
Oh, I think like, it always, I mean, we were lucky up in Surgeonsville. There was a formal garden on the back of our property that had like paths through it and one entire side of the whole thing. Cause oregano is crazy. It's like bamboo. It like goes nuts. It goes everywhere. It takes over, but it was in a confined area. And I started cooking with fresh oregano years and years ago, you know, like 25 years ago, and it's far superior. Granted, I'm a New Yorker. I'm an Italian New Yorker, and I will always put dried oregano on my pizza when I eat it. But fresh oregano is just incredible. It's such a good flavor.
Now, what would you tell listeners who, you know, they don't have a bunch of fresh oregano?
You can rehydrate dried oregano. I would put it in, you know, I would steep it like tea in boiling water, let it sit.
So you would substitute, but probably just use a lot less of it for this recipe?
I would not use as much because it's a much more concentrated flavor. Yes, of course. But
right. And it'll be different.
It would
replicate
that, you know, delicious oregano.
Or I might even, I'm not sure if this is probably not very Oaxacan, but I might even reconstitute some of the dried oregano and maybe add like some fresh basil or some fresh parsley or something to.
Yeah. I mean, this was a specific recipe specifically for oregano, but sir, oh, absolutely. Right. Yeah, definitely. I would do that. And the thing that I accompanied the chicken with was also from my Oaxacan book. And it was a grilled corn salad that was so delicious and so easy to throw together. I had the grill on, I just rubbed some oil on some corn, and you know, it's with items that you can just easily get anywhere, you know, go to any farm market right now. The corn is outrageous. There's scallions all over the place. There's tomatoes all over the place. So I just rubbed the cobs of corn with, a little bit of oil. And I grilled them on the grill until they were pretty dark and smoky. Mm-hmm. And then I put them in a plastic bag for about a half an hour while I was doing some other stuff because it really concentrates the smokiness of it. You know that trick? Like you can do that if you're if you want to peel like roasted red peppers, if you char them and then put them in a plastic sealed bag.
Yeah, but I thought that was to get the skin off.
That is to get the skin off, but the purpose of what it's doing is it's making the heat go underneath and the moisture is building up in the bag, so it's sort of steaming it a little bit. So it's just mingling the flavor of it a bit more. So I grilled the corn. I grilled the same thing with some scallions. You could do it with leeks. You could do it just with onion. I just rubbed them with a little bit of olive oil and put them on the grill and grilled them till they were pretty nice and charred. Then I took all the corn off the cobs, had it in a big bowl. And I have a great little trick for doing this. You take a big bowl and you take a little bowl and you put the small bowl upside down inside of the big bowl.
Yeah.
Which gives you a stand to stand the cob on. And then when you go down with your knife, all the kernels go into the big bowl.
Right.
Yeah. It's a great little system. Anyway, you know, cause it can be a mess all over the place. If you're,
can I interject for people because fresh corn season is almost over. But you can do this recipe.
We got another month.
Yeah. But I'm just saying for people who maybe they want something quicker or whatever, or they don't have a grill, take some frozen corn, put it on a baking dish, a baking sheet, a little olive oil, salt and pepper, roast it at high heat for like 450, something like that. And at least it won't be the same as doing it on a grill, but you'll get the color, you'll get a little bit of char.
You'll get the flavor, absolutely. So I grilled the onions, I grilled the corn. In a saute pan, I just put some cherry tomatoes. I didn't cut the cherry tomatoes. They were whole cherry tomatoes with a little bit of olive oil, salt and pepper until they sort of started to burst a little bit. Just cook them down a tad. Put that in with the corn. Put that in with the scallions. And I put a bunch of, almost an entire bunch of chopped cilantro. And I know people have certain feelings about cilantro. You could put parsley if you're not into cilantro. And I put fresh cheese, like Oaxacan cheese is one of the better fresh cheeses, the queso fresco in Mexico. I crumbled that in there. Oh my gosh, I'm telling you what, this salad was delicious. And with the corn, with the chicken and the drippings from the chicken, it was the most delicious meal we've had. Not to date.
Wow. Pretty decent. And affordable.
Yeah.
I mean, this could be like an amazing weekday dinner, you know?
Nothing fancy, just, you know, well-prepared. And the flavors were lovely together. And so that was this week. I was doing foods from Oaxaca. Next week, I don't know, Turkey, Hong Kong, Morocco. I'm looking at my bookshelf. I've got Iceland.
You know, I'm always a big fan of occasionally going back to the books, occasionally grabbing that cookbook, because we don't need it. We know how to cook, but sometimes nice you're reminded of stuff.
Well, you know, we both just learned this technique about doing the thighs, high heat down, flip it over.
Brand new technique.
Yeah.
And also the Jacques Pepin tip about
slitting the bone out a little bit
just to kind of open it up, and it cuts the cooking time. This is good shiitake.
Yeah, and you never stop learning, you know, professional
chefs.
That's
right. That's what I love about food.
It should be with every career. It should be with anything in life. You can never stop learning new things and new techniques and new methods. All right.
Right.
So we're running out of time.
Okay.
When we come back.
I have one more
Oaxacan thing that I didn't get to, but I think is very interesting because it differs from regular Mexican tamales, but Oaxacan tamales are specific.
Okay, so we'll finish up on Oaxacan stuff, and then I just wanted to quickly talk about a menu, more of a high-end menu that I wanted to check out at some future date.
Sounds good. We'll be back.
Pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call. Call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Attention Medicare recipients and anyone turning 65. Medicare has approved new benefits not included with original Medicare and older Medicare Advantage plans. You may not be getting all of the benefits you're entitled to, including in-home aids, telephone appointments with your doctors, home-delivered meals and prescriptions. These benefits may be available, and it's a free call to enroll. The new plans may also offer free eyeglasses, free hearing aids, free wellness visits, and gym memberships. Call the Medicare benefits line now. It's easy. Call 800-663-7292. 800-663-7292. Find out if you're eligible for new benefits like meal and prescription delivery, in-home aids, and telemedicine. Some plans may have a $0 monthly premium or zero copays for big out-of-pocket savings. Not all Medicare Advantage plans are alike. The new plans have more benefits for many people. Call 800-663-7292. 800-663-7292. 800-663-7292.
And welcome back to Food for Thought.
We're back.
And we're talking Oaxacan.
Yeah, so there was just one other thing I wanted to mention, only because I thought it was very interesting. Do you like tamales?
No.
Why? Because the reason you don't like them is the reason why I think these are very interesting.
Why do you think the reason I don't like them?
Because of the big corn on the outside of it. The big layer of corn.
Yeah, I just don't eat a lot of carbs. So I don't go, my tamales aren't my go-to.
So Oaxacan tamales, contrary to regular, you know, if you have a tamale, whether it's even in the Caribbean, they make tamales, you know, it's just a corn paste that's wrapped around a meat that has a sauce on it. You know, you can get them anywhere in any Latin American country. Oaxacan tamales, on the other hand, have a very, very thin layer, almost like a crepe layer on the outside.
Oh, I like that.
I know. Me too. That's why when I was reading it, I was like, oh my God, this is awesome.
So how did they get them crepe-like?
I mean, I love them. I mean, we were in the, I was in the middle of Iowa, literally in the middle of nowhere, visiting a friend of mine. And there was a Mexican family that lived in her community. And she said, do you like tamales? I was like, yeah, I love tamales. I love everything. That's the problem. No, that's not a problem. I have to stop saying that. I love everything. And this woman was from Oaxaca and made these tamales. And they were, this was probably 15, 20 years ago. Well, not that long. Yeah, probably 15 years ago. I bought my dogs from this woman in Iowa. And my dogs were 15 when we put them down, you know, a couple of years ago. So yeah, so over 15 years ago. The most delicious tamale I've ever had in my life, because, you know, the interior ingredients are basically always made the same with tamales. You cook the meat, whether you roast the meat or simmer the meat, and then chop it up or pull it or have big pieces of meat. And it's mixed with a sauce that's generally made with tomatoes and peppers and herbs and aromatics. And you combine those two items and then you put it inside of a wrapping that's made with corn and flour. But generally, if you get a regular tamale, like a regulation tamale, not from Oaxaca, there's literally about 2 inches of that corn layer on the outside.
Now, of the filling. You stop right? Can you stop right there? That 2 inch layer, because I'm not an aficionado on enchiladas by any stretch.
Tamales.
And I think, tamales.
It's okay.
How do you get that corn layer? Like, is it like a polenta type of process?
It's ground corn. Sometimes has eggs in it. Sometimes it just has water or broth in it. A little bit of flour. It's basically just a paste. It's almost like if you think about how they make adobe huts, they make mud and pack, you know, the cracks in an adobe hut. That's basically what the outside of this thing is. It's a paste that's made with ground cornmeal, sometimes flour, sometimes eggs, and a liquid of some sort.
What's the method to get the meat mixture encased
You generally do it in a banana leaf or a corn husk.
Right.
And you lay out the corn husk.
And you roll it like that, like sushi.
You put out, you know, it's literally a paste. It's like playing with mud pies. You pack down.
It's like the rice and sushi.
Pretty much, yes.
Like yeah, with the nori, you're pushing down the paste, yes, which would be the rice. You're pushing down the corn.
Inside of it, and then you roll this up around it. So the corn is on the exterior of it. And then you wrap it up in the corn husk. Actually wrapping it in the corn husk is how you wrap, you know, just like when you're making sushi, you're using your little wood board to roll up. You're using it as a receptacle to help you roll. Same thing with the tamale, but a Oaxacan is thin. It's almost crepe-like. It's a thin paste. It has milk or also stock. Like it could be the same exact ingredients, but it's just a much thinner paste. And you would make it on a flat iron or on a tortilla press before you fill it with the ingredients.
Okay, pause.
Yes.
When you say that, what the first thing I thought of when you said a very thin layer of corn, I thought, why not use corn tortillas?
You can, but that's not what they do.
I'm just saying for Susie Homemaker.
Because a corn tortilla has different ingredients in it that makes it tougher. It makes it like a bread. This is not a bread. This is just a layer of thin corn meal, right, basically. So it's the same tamale exterior, but it's just super thin and so delicious. Because basically, you know, like when you eat a taco, it's not about the shell. It's about what's in it.
Exactly. Tamale, my point with low carb.
It's about what's in it.
And sometimes when I do low carb, it's not that I don't want any carbs. It's just that I don't like dishes that are carb heavy. So something like this, where it's so a nice thin layer, and I love the taste of corn.
Yeah, it's perfect.
You know, I think that would make a tamale much more palatable to me.
Totally. Yep. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I know. That's why I'm so into my Oaxacan book right now. All good stuff. So there you have it. That's all about my Oaxacan cooking.
Oaxacan week.
Next week. I don't know. Pick one.
What are our choices for next week?
I'll report back. Our choices are.
Her choices Spain, are.
Ireland.
What?
Spain, Ireland, Portugal.
Ireland's going to suck.
No. Why do you say that?
Yes.
That's terrible.
I can say, I'm Irish. I can say that. Ireland is going
to
suck.
Okay. My mother went to the University of Dublin. She had the most delicious Irish food she's ever had in her life. You're giving
what, like
Ireland
potatoes?
A bad rep. Anyway, India, the Caribbean, Turkey, Hong Kong, Morocco, France, Thailand, Japan, New Orleans, or Italia.
Hard choices there.
We'll pick one, and that's what I'll cook from next week, and I will report in. It'll be our new international segment on Food for Thought.
How about Morocco? We have talked about every one of these cuisines on the show, but we've never done it in relation to these specific books. We're probably going to learn something, right? So how about Morocco?
Well, we've just learned three things from my Oaxacan book, so yeah.
Your little book, I know. How about Morocco? Are you feeling that?
I'm feeling it. So.
Turkey or?
No, I'll do Morocco.
Okay.
Yeah, no, Irish food can be delicious. You know, yes, many years ago, Great Britain and Ireland got a bad rap on all their food. But you know what? That's old. That's an old sentiment. And an old stereotypical thinking, yes, way of thinking, absolutely.
So corned beef is good now?
And it's never not been good in my mind. Okay. I love corned beef. Love it.
Shepherd's pie.
Yeah. Scotch egg. Come on. Can you beat a
I've never
egg?
Had a good scotch egg.
Yes, you had. When we...
It was like...
We did a remote.
Yeah.
That was a good scotch egg. Do you remember? I don't even eat the egg. But the exterior was delicious.
Okay. I thought it was dry, honestly. I probably was being nice because we were at somebody's restaurant. It was dry. The sausage was dry.
I didn't think it was.
Is a scotch egg, for listeners who don't know what that is, it's a British kind of pub food where it's a sausage.
It's an egg wrapped in sausage.
An egg wrapped in a sausage.
A ground sausage mixture. So the entire egg, it looks like a big baseball. So if you slice it,
like a baseball or a football, and then you cut it, and you've got the cold, and typically it's served cold. I want to have the scotch egg right out of the oven.
Ours were hot when they served them to us.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember.
No,
they were cold. And the sausage mixture was delicious. No, they were not. Go on the guy's menu.
Well, we have a different memory of that.
Well, we obviously do because I thought they were delicious and I don't even eat the egg. Like the sausage mixture was their own pork blend, delicious sausage. Anywho. Okay. Anywho.
Anyway,
Morocco's next week.
Morocco's next week. I did have a restaurant that I would like to go to and I just wanted to, I'm not going to say every single menu item, but you know me, I don't really like fancy,
right?
Except for maybe once a year or if someone else is paying.
Okay.
So we're going to be paying ourselves. But since I figured we saved so much money over the past 6 months not going out to eat,
right,
we're due for a dinner that costs us about $300 for two.
Good.
So
where are you
going? The restaurant is called Bolit.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, I know, but they change their menu every few months, so everything's new.
And are they open now?
Yeah, they have outdoor dining and curbside pickup. Okay. So they've got East Beach blonde oysters from Massachusetts. It's got a roasted shiitake mignonette and a crisp shiitake mushroom and chive.
I can't listen to us say shiitake anymore because now I think you're saying shit.
You think I'm saying shit? No. Well, yeah.
That was for years. Instead of saying shit on our program, where we're permitted to say shit, you would say okay. Shiitake.
But that this sounds is actually good. No, about shiitake.
Go ahead, continue. That sounds delicious.
Okay, then they have their mixed greens is with blueberries, lemon, toasted sunflower seeds, Meyer lemon, blueberry vinaigrette, big deal. Tuna tartare with red and yellow watermelon, tofu, red onion, cucumbers, watermelon broth. Okay. Gazpacho, steak tartare. The steak tartare is interesting because they do it with a sunny side up quail egg, which you and I cannot eat. But capers, red onion, and a truffle vinaigrette.
Okay.
Tempura mushroom, which is a locally foraged puffball mushroom. Have you ever heard of that?
A puffball mushroom?
Puffball mushroom.
I have not.
And then roasted bone marrow, which, of course, I'm a sucker for bone marrow, so I want to go just for that. This one, although, get this description, Laura.
Yeah, I love bone marrow also.
Their bone marrow, they serve with Shoals, which must be a local farm, Shoals peach marmalade and house-made peanut butter.
No, thank you. Pass.
What the heck?
Hard pass.
I know.
Just caramelize those bones. Cut the bone open. Get that stuff out of there. Maybe a little bit of grainy mustard. Call it a day.
Right. Purist, just maybe a little,
spread it on
maybe
a piece of
garlic aioli or not even aioli, just a little roasted garlic spread or salt.
Or the artichoke spread. That would be good.
Artichoke spread, but not
on a crostini.
Not peanut butter.
Really, just marrow. You just put it on a crostini, just swipe it on a crostini, and that's it. That's interesting.
I think we should package a bone marrow.
I don't think as many people would be into it as we are.
No, but it would be like in the specialty food section, and it would be something that you would put on like a crostini or a piece of bread, and you would spread it and then broil it.
Oh my gosh, you're making me hungry. Stop it.
Right?
Right.
We have to do this. Can we add this to the list?
We can.
Okay. Seared scallops with pork belly ravioli. That turned me on.
Yeah.
Pan-seared salmon. Yeah, whatever. Oh, it's also got corn and lobster, crab and lobster.
Okay, that sounds good.
Smoked pork chops. And then this is something I've never had, is a bacon-wrapped rabbit loin. Have you ever had a loin of rabbit?
Yes, and I love rabbit. I have not
had it. Where do you get
a
loin of rabbit?
What do you mean? It's the loin cut.
I know, but how big is it? It must be the size of a...
It's small.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's delicious. Okay. It's a loin. Oh, I really love rabbit.
So do I, but I've only...
Total side note, my grandmother, I had a rabbit growing up. His name was Benny. He was beautiful, and he was big. He was a big rabbit. And my Italian grandmother, my father's mother, Loretta, would always want to cook Benny. Like every time she would come over, she would feel it, like the back of him and say, oh, no, avvocchiai. Like it's getting old. It's too old. Like you should have cooked it by now.
Oh,
I know. And I grab Benny and go running into my room like, no,
no.
Grandma wants to cook Benny.
I had rabbit many years ago. I just can't remember how. The most recently I had rabbit, it was a Korean dish, and it was basically hacked up pieces of fried rabbit. It was very good, but it was very bony. And I had to
generally, it is very bony, unless you have it in a really good French restaurant where you've had, it's a braise, you know, it's a pretty traditional braise, almost like a cassoulet. They serve it with white beans and a braised.
Right.
And they've butchered it correctly, because generally you'll get chunky pieces that have interesting bones. That's why a loin is so delicious, because there are no bones.
Can you tell me how big a rabbit loin typically is? Like, can you compare it to something? Like a pickle?
The size of a pickle, that would be perfect. Yep.
Okay.
You know, think about how big a rabbit is, and from the hind quarter.
I know.
The forearm.
I envisioned a pickle.
Yeah, that you nailed it. That's pretty okay. much it.
All right, we're running out of time.
We are. Next week, foods from Morocco.
Morocco, please tune in.
And
I'll bet you I'll bet you anything. I'll bet you $10 we're going to learn something.
I hope so. I mean, I basically read the whole Oaxacan book, so I'll basically read this whole book. Oh, I forgot to tell you. I'm going to tell you next week, because we're really out of time. So we'll see you next week, everybody.
What a cliffhanger. Thanks for listening.